Joining us right now is head coach Brian Billick, and the Brian Billick Report is brought to you by Bet America, America's Sportsbook, and by Bruni and Campisi Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, now serving Westchester, Fairfield, and Putnam Counties. The Super Bowl winning coach from the 2000 season, 2000 Baltimore Ravens, and that's Brian Billick. Coach, how are you?
Doing great this morning.
Good to talk to you. Let's start at the end, the last thing we saw from week one. And I think they deserve some credit because most of the time when we've talked about the Oakland Raiders over the last month, it's been about Antonio Brown. It's been about Mike Mayock. It's been about John Gray. It's been all about that circus. They get rid of Antonio Brown. Derek Carr looked like his MVP self, and they got a really good divisional victory. They were a home underdog in that game, too. Give me your impression from the Raiders' week one victory and what you take out of their win.
Well, you, just that. You've got to be impressed with all that was going on and all the distractions. And they'll say, no, we hold it at arm's length. We're just focused on what we're doing. But make no mistake, it is a distraction. And to go in and get a divisional win, and you're right, have your quarterback play that well. It really looks like he has a firm grasp of what it is John Gruden wants to do. That was very impressive. Now, it gets ramped up now because now they're playing a Kansas City Chiefs offense that looks pretty darn good. And so that defense is going to be tested. Although, again, I think, you know, if it turns into a track meet, I think that's going to be tough for the Raiders. But if they can kind of keep Kansas City in a little bit of check, then I think this Raider offense has a chance to do some damage against the Chiefs.
Coach, let's talk about your old team, which puts 59 on the Dolphins. And we know the Dolphins are basically don't want to win football games this year. I would use the word tanking. But nevertheless, Lamar Jackson goes out there and throws 5 touchdown passes. Ingram has a big day. They look like world beaters. How about the Ravens right now?
Yeah, pretty impressive, wasn't it? And the most impressive thing was Lamar Jackson only carried the ball 3 times. We've talked the entire preseason. I did their preseason game. And that's all about, well, how many runs can Lamar Jackson, because they're all in about running him. And they're, you know, 170, 180 times possibly. But if they don't have to, and it was typical, you know, Miami, and you're right, it's a Miami team that's destined. I don't see a win this year for Miami. I can't imagine what game they're going to win on their schedule. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Lamar Jackson was brilliant. He only had to carry the ball 3 times. And the big plays that you alluded to, he had a big place with 5 and 6 different guys. It wasn't just Hollywood Brown. It was Mark Andrews. Miles Boykin got a big one.
Steve right,
got
right.
A big, I mean, it was a truly broad-based offense that, boy, it bodes well if indeed they can continue that down the way. They play Arizona. It's going to be very interesting to see Kyler Murray now and Lamar Jackson, maybe the two most prototypical quarterbacks of now this wide-open change in the NFL, if indeed it is a change.
You know what's interesting about Jackson? Obviously, it is easy to say it's the Dolphins, though if there's one thing the Dolphins are actually halfway decent at, they have some talent in their secondary. It was the nature of the throws. I mean, those throws, looking back at his touchdown passes, they were pinpoint. They were really good. And after the game, he had a little bit of swagger, which I respect, the line where he says, not bad for a running back. So you could tell he's got that chip on his shoulder, which is a good thing, too.
Sure he does, because he's told that's all he can do and that he's not a good passer, which is not fair. It's not. The question becomes, can he consistently do it against good defenses when they can afford to play zone in behind it? When you play the amount of man that Miami had to play, because you got to bring 8 guys in the box to stop the run, that does simplify things, and he could see those reads, and when he can see it and size it up and he had the talent down the field, he made some magnificent throws.
What did you think of the, quote, air raid offense? Because for the first 3 quarters of the Cardinal game, I mean, the offense looked bad, to put it nicely, and then obviously they picked it up late. They rallied back against the Lions and got a tie that felt like a win, but early impressions of that Kingsbury offense with Kyler running it.
Well, we're about to find out, because with all due respect to Detroit, you talk about a bad team in Miami. Detroit may be not far behind, particularly defensively. But Kyler Murray's about to find out what it is to play in the NFL, because they play that Raven defense this year, or this week, I should say.
Yep.
And Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator, has a very high degree of confidence in his scheme versus the RPO. We've talked about it at length. And he's had an entire summer to practice it, because that's what he sees in practice every day with Lamar Jackson and what the Ravens are doing. So Kyler Murray on the road at Baltimore, we're going to find out about Kyler Murray. I will say this, if he has to throw it 50 times a game all year long, it's great experience, but I don't know how long that's going to last or how many games they'll win.
Talking to Coach Brian Billick, you know, Coach, we've talked about the Browns coming into this season, and I was concerned about the Browns. You know, they got a lot of hype for a lot of guys who haven't won anything, young players and a rookie head coach. And, I thought they'd lose to Tennessee, but I didn't think Tennessee was going to beat them up the way they did. How about what happened with Cleveland on Sunday?
Well, that's really the shoe has dropped now, hadn't it? And they were the darlings of the offseason, and I was right there. They have the talent to win the AFC North. The problem is, and I talked about it before, when you're talking about Baker Mayfield, he's throwing all over the field, he's got the swagger, and okay, that's cool. And last year, he could have that swagger and throw it because they were out of it, and what are you going to do, lose another game? I mean, that's just what Cleveland's
right,
about.
Right,
so
right.
Now it counts. And now are the expectations. And now you've got to be able to deliver. And when you can go in against a good Tennessee team, I don't know that a lot of people are picking them to win the Super Bowl necessarily, but a good Tennessee team. And you throw, last year he was 2 touchdowns to 1 interception. Okay. He's 1 touchdown to 3 interceptions. So now that's forcing the ball in. I got to make something happen when the team's throwing it on your back and against the defense that is keeping up with you offensively. That's the challenge for Cleveland right now, and further the challenge is for Freddie Kitchens to stand in front of his group. Where in that organization, where on that team can you lean on to say, we're okay, we can get through this? Because that hasn't been the MO in Cleveland, and the head coach hasn't been able to do that. The players around them, they've been around a lot of losing. That's going to be the challenge for them to get this turned around. They desperately need a win.
And they are so in the spotlight. I mean, they have the Monday night game against the Jets. They have a Sunday night game 2 weeks later. They're in prime time a lot. They are one of the most talked about teams. That's got to make it more difficult, too, that they're the talk of the league. So when they win, sure, things will be great. They'll get talked about a lot. But when they lose, the pressure has got to be immense for them more than a lot of other teams in this league.
And as I said, with an organization that as of late has lost a lot. That really, particularly the commentary on the outside from us and the fans and whatever, okay, that is what it is. That's just outside noise. But it's that doubt that can creep into your team. Do we know what we're doing? You see it in Miami, too, and you already can see it with the veterans. What are we doing here? Brian Flores has a heck of a problem. Yeah, he's got a great pedigree, but you got to win a game. You got to show all this changing of the culture, and this is the way we do things, and this is how we're going to win. At some point, you got to win, and that's the challenge.
And the team that they lost to is very quietly had 3 straight 9-win years. I know 9 wins isn't, winning a Super Bowl, but the Titans, they've won a lot of games the last 3 years. They've certainly won a hell of a lot more games than the Browns. They feel a little bit underrated that people sort of forget about Tennessee.
Well, and you could see why after the game the Titans had to wolf a little bit because all anybody wanted to talk about was the Cleveland Browns. And Marcus Mariota, obviously, and I'm a big Marcus Mariota fan. And for him to come up with a 3-touchdown game, they ran the ball very well. You're right. This is a team that's been on that verge, and now they've got their own challenges of taking that next step. I get that. But obviously, they are a competent team, and if Marcus Mariota continues to play well, and in particularly in the red zone, that's where his first couple of years, he was brilliant in the end zone. What, 2 years he didn't throw an interception in the red zone, I think, something like that. If he can continue that and stay healthy, then, yeah, Tennessee could very well be that team that now gets that 1 or 2 more wins that puts them to 10 or 11 wins in a division that's gotten very interesting, that I thought the AFC South, the best division of football, top to bottom, including, all the teams, except now all of a sudden no Andrew Luck. No, Nick Foles in Jacksonville. The equation has changed. The calculus has changed in the AFC South.
And I want to go to the other South, the NFC South, because is time finally starting to be up for Jameis Winston? I mean, he was terrible against San Francisco. He really has underachieved so far in his career, and now he's got Bruce Arians with him. And I don't want to put it all on one game, but I mean, how about him right now in Tampa?
Well, again, let's go back to our conversation about the Browns and the change. And, okay, now we're going to be really good. Well, Jameis Winston, okay, now we're okay. Now, Bruce Arians is coming in. Byron Leftwich, the coordinator, he's the next up-and-coming guru. And now, Jameis Winston, now I'm fully focused. We've got the right group around us, and we're good to go. And he has a one-touchdown, three-interception game, which has been his, you know, that's been Jameis Winston's. He goes and he has two, three touchdown games, and then he'll go and he'll have a three or four interception game. And to start out that way, again, has to create that doubt that now Bruce Arians and Jameis Winston has to get past to look at to go, okay, are we just still growing here? Is this just an aberration, or is indeed Jameis Winston Jameis Winston?
We're talking to Brian Billick about the NFL. You know, if Joe and I ran a football team, I'm convinced that we would come in Monday morning and just cut guys after bad performances. Like Trumaine Johnson probably would have been cut. And I bring that up because the Texans getting rid of Aaron Colvin sort of feels similar. Here's a cornerback. He was paid a lot of money. He was given a big contract. He jumped from Jacksonville to the Texans. He had a bad year last year, like Trumaine Johnson, and was awful on Monday night. And I know that if I was a Texan fan the next morning, I'd want him cut, just like I'd probably want Trumaine Johnson cut if they had someone to replace him. Did that move feel reactionary in a way? Because the Texans did release Aaron Colvin only one game into year two of a contract, and I'm not defending him. He's been bad. He's been like Trumaine Johnson. But did that move feel reactionary to you at all?
Well, there's a lot. My guess is there's a lot more to do than just the one game, although I'm always reminded of John McKay's comment in Tampa Bay, right? Where after a game, they asked, well, what do you think of the execution of your team? And he says, well, I'm all for it.
Right.
So it can be reactionary. My guess is that there was a lot more involved than that this game kind of just capped it off in terms of the lack of his productivity and what they felt like they needed to do.
Mm. Again, we're talking to Coach Brian Billick. I got to bring up my team, the Jets, who nobody does it better, Coach, in taking a victory and snatching it from, or the other way around, defeat and snatching it from the jaws of victory like they do. They blow a 16-0 lead in this game. You know, they've trotted in three kickers this year. They all are terrible. Now they got a fourth kicker. They got rid of the Pro Bowl kicker. I mean, what about them right now? How do you view the Jets? And they got a brutal schedule coming up after they play the Browns on Monday night. How do you look at them?
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge because, obviously, to give up the way you did to a division rival against a young quarterback in Josh Allen that is showing some signs, but it's not like this was Tom Brady or Drew Brees
right, or
Aaron Rodgers.
Of course.
So that's got to be a concern. And then offensively, Adam Gase is coming in after not doing really well in Miami. And, okay, he's still the quarterback whisperer, and he's going to turn Sam Darnold around. And that has to show up. The team has to see that. They have to believe in that. It's just like we talked about Miami, we talked about in Cleveland. You're at the point. That's the difficulty in the NFL when you come in and you lose the first game. 50% of the teams are now making reservations to the Super Bowl, and half of them think, oh, my God. And then after this week, half those teams that won are probably going to lose a game. And so you do overreact. 5 of the 12 playoff teams last year lost their opener. So, you know, no, you don't need to panic. But each week now we'll start to hear those numbers, won't we, about, well, teams that go 0-2, go 0-3.
Sure, right.
And yeah, you're going to say you'll hold that at arm's length, but Adam Gase has to somehow get his troops to continue to believe in what they're doing, because you're right. After this, when you talk about New England, Philadelphia, Dallas, New England again, that, you know, all of a sudden now, notwithstanding what happens with Cleveland, you're facing a real crisis of conscience of, boy, are we going to be okay, and do we have the right people here?
To your point of over-exaggerating what we see the first week of the year, what do you take out of the Giant game? Obviously, they took on a very talented team in Dallas. They're very young on defense. The line definitely looked better, the offensive line, but what do you take away from week one from the Giants?
Well, again, I'm a little like you in the way you started. The biggest takeaway is I think Dallas looked pretty good, and I don't think you can minimize that. And the fact that they, you know, the way they played, and was a division foe that, again, you know, is always a tough battle. And I don't think you can discount that. So, you know, from that standpoint, let's be confident and feel good about the Cowboys. But the Giants, again, my concern is as it was coming in on a team that, at the end of the day, is kind of just okay. The Eli Manning and Daniel Jones saga, you know, when that's hanging over them. And Eli Manning was solid. I mean, he was 30 of 44, over 300 yards, had a touchdown. I don't think they lost because of Eli Manning. They ran the ball extremely well. Defensively, it was hard to hold up against what was obviously a really good Dallas team. Now's a challenge with Buffalo coming in. Again, they're at home, so that should help, obviously. Their schedule is one over the next couple weeks with Buffalo, Tampa Bay, and even Washington, where they should have a chance to get healthy. But the challenge becomes, okay, let's say they kind of play the same way, and Eli continues to kind of do what he's doing, and yet they're sitting there at 0-4 or 1-3. What do you do? You know, when is it okay? Yeah, now let's think about Daniel Jones and plan for next year, because every snap he takes this year is going to make them better next year. That's kind of the other shoe waiting to drop that I think the Giants have to carry around. They won't talk about it. They're all about the next team. This is what we're doing. But don't for a second, don't think that for that team, that's in the back of their minds.
Coach, what do you think? With or without Antonio Brown, the Patriots go undefeated? What do you think?
Well, I'll put it this way. Cause, you know, I get in real trouble when I do this, like when I said the Browns would go 0-16. Well, I never said the Browns would go 0-16 2 years ago. All I said was I don't see a game on the schedule where I think the Browns will win or will be favored. So I'm kind of cheating there a little bit in terms. Well, it's the same way with the Patriots. I'm never going to predict anybody go 16-0. I have too much respect for how hard it is to win in this league. But as I go down the schedule, there's only a couple spots that I look at. You know, maybe Baltimore in early November.
Right, right.
Obviously, Dallas in November.
Philly.
They got Kansas City in December. Yes, in Philly. Okay, so will I say they go 16-0? No. But my guess is, particularly when you're talking about, you know, like they're Baltimore at home, they're going to be favored. They're Philly at home. They're going to be favored.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be interesting.
Tell us about what you're doing with Roman.
I'm excited with my new association with Roman. You know, all those years I was in the NFL and college ball, whenever I had something going on, it was simple. I just walk down the hall to a top trainer or top doctor and say, hey, this is going on. What do I do? Well, when I left the NFL, I don't have that anymore. You know, 50% of the men haven't been to a doctor in 2 years, which is wrong. Roman is a great access point. It makes the process easy and private, that allows you a connection with a U.S. licensed physician, take places online, totally confidential. I mean, I'm 65 years old, okay? There's stuff going on. You know, post-40, there's just stuff going on.
I'm right there with you, Coach, by the way. Let me just tell you that.
There you go. You need a professional to help foster you through when these things come up, with all the myriad things that go on, particularly with guys my age, post-40. It's a great resource. You need to go to Roman.com. And if you go to GetRoman.com/coach, your first initial visit is free.
Very cool. Coach, always good talking to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it. Always a pleasure, Coach.
All righty.
Brian Billick talking football with him. Your